Imagine, it is a Tuesday morning. A regulator knocks on your door and asks for proof, like time-stamped, verifiable proof that every single employee using AI in your company is legally literate in its risks.
Right.
And if your first instinct is to open a massive static Excel spreadsheet, well, you might actually already be in breach of the law.
You absolutely might be.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a stack of sources today that honestly shift the entire perspective on AI. It moves it from being this, you know, purely technical IT issue to a core fundamental leadership responsibility.
Yeah, and the sources really frame this as arguably the most critical shift in corporate governance we've seen in maybe a decade.
Oh, definitely.
For the senior decision makers listening, so the CEOs, the board members, the CISOs, the fundamental reality has just completely changed. The real risk is no longer, you know, whether your company uses AI.
Because everyone is using it.
Exactly. The real risk is that leadership often just cannot reliably explain where it is used or who is actually responsible for it. And crucially, which of their safety claims can actually be proven in an audit.
So let's unpack the current situation with a bit of a visual. Think about the state of AI governance in most, well, most large organizations right now. It is essentially like flying a commercial airliner with a painted-on dashboard.
That's a terrifying thought, but yeah.
Right. Like, you sit in the cockpit, you look at the altimeter, and it says you're cruising at a perfectly safe 30,000 feet. But it's just paint on canvas.
Just a static picture.
Yeah. Organizations feel safe because they have that that Excel inventory, maybe a few PDF guidelines floating around the corporate intranet, or some completion certificates from an annual training video, but they are completely flying blind.
They really are.
The moment leadership actually asks for a defensible, accurate picture of what is happening today, massive gaps appear.
And those gaps are incredibly dangerous because before we can even talk about, you know, fixing a governance problem, the sources insist we really have to acknowledge the reality of what is actually running inside the company right now.
Which is usually a lot more than they think.
Oh, way more. We tend to think of AI as this this monolithic tool that the IT department carefully procures, tests, and deploys after like months of deliberation.
The official rollout.
Right, the official rollout. But the reality is far messier. AI enters an organization through multiple, often completely invisible, doors.
It's not just the big official platforms.
Far from it. I mean, yes, you have your officially approved applications, but you also have AI features suddenly embedded in legacy software you've been using for years.
Oh, this is like a silent update.
Exactly. Maybe your HR software just pushed an update that automatically filters resumes using machine learning, and your CHRO didn't even notice.
Wow.
Then you have generative AI tools being used for, you know, departmental experiments. You have external service providers quietly using AI to deliver the work you contracted them for.
So the footprint is huge.
It's massive. The sources break down a really critical difference here. There is declared AI use, approved AI use, observed AI use, and unapproved AI use.
Okay, I want to push back on this a little bit because when we talk about unapproved AI use, what everyone calls shadow AI, we're often just talking about an employee using ChatGPT or Midjourney to write a first draft of an email,
yeah,
right? Or brainstorm a marketing campaign.
Sure, if that's a common use case.
So surely regulators know companies cannot possibly track every single prompt an employee types.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't a best effort policy enough? Why does the board actually need to care about a rogue prompt?
Well, under the EU AI Act, specifically Article 4, there is a strict legal requirement for AI literacy.
Okay.
And the kicker is that this requirement applies to all deployers right now. It went into effect in early 2025, and it's fully enforceable by 2026.
Wait, so who counts as a deployer?
That's the thing. A deployer isn't just the IT department. It is the organization using the system. Legally speaking, saying we didn't know they were using it is absolutely not a defense.
So if an employee is quietly using an unapproved AI tool to, say, process sensitive client data just to make their workflow faster, the company is fully on the hook.
Completely on the hook. If you don't have an accurate inventory of that shadow AI, you essentially have an incomplete risk picture.
Right.
And that generates massive operational, legal, security, and reputational exposure for the board. The sources make a very blunt point here. An incomplete inventory means your risk management is essentially a fiction.
But wait, if the legal obligations are that strict, why aren't the standard compliance tools catching this exposure?
Yeah.
I mean, if shadow AI is everywhere, why do those legacy dashboards still say we're at a safe 30,000 feet?
That brings us to exactly why traditional governance tools, you know, the static policy documents, the isolated training certificates, the one-time assessments, why they fail so spectacularly when exposed to reality.
Because they're just snapshots.
Exactly. They're designed to measure the existence of a document, not the ongoing management of a risk.
I actually have an analogy for this based on the sources. Using traditional governance tools for AI is a lot like having a gym membership.
Oh, I like this.
Right. Just because you sign the contract and you have the little plastic membership card on your keychain, it doesn't actually prove you worked out.
Yes. The psychological trap organizations fall into is measuring mere activity rather than actual defensible readiness.
Right. The activity versus the result.
The policy document, that's the contract. You have the training certificates, that's the membership card. A manager looks at an Excel spreadsheet, sees a green check mark next to an employee's name, and just assumes the risk is managed.
But completed does not mean verified.
Completed absolutely does not mean verified. A positive score in a spreadsheet often hides the fact that the underlying mandatory evidence expired like 3 months ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or perhaps the specific person responsible for that risk left the company in a restructuring, leaving an orphaned process.
So nobody's actually watching the dial.
Nobody. The checkmark is usually just self-reported, sitting in a disconnected evidence folder, feeding into an abstract dashboard. When the auditor asks to see your actual defensible readiness, your actual organizational fitness level, you have nothing to show them but the plastic card.
So if spreadsheets and static documents are just gym cards, what does actual verified readiness look like? Especially for a C-suite executive who needs to, you know, look a regulator in the eye and prove they have this under control.
This is where our sources introduce a really fascinating methodology and a specific solution called Gerion.
Yeah, let's get into Gerion.
The sources are very careful to frame Gerion not just as another compliance checkbox tool, but as an AI governance control tower.
A control tower?
Yes. It is designed specifically to generate defensible management decisions. It turns all those fragmented governance activities into a highly structured management system.
Let's walk through how this control tower actually structures that information, because the methodology here is key to the whole thing.
Yeah, the core mechanism of Gerion relies on a strict, unbroken chain of accountability. It connects the AI system itself directly to the specific risk it poses.
Okay, system to risk.
Right. Then that risk is connected to a named responsibility, like an actual human being in the organization.
Someone you can point to.
Exactly. That responsibility is tied to a required action, which demands concrete evidence. That evidence is bound by a strict deadline, and all of that finally rolls up into an executive decision.
Let's put that in a real-world scenario to make it concrete. So the system might be an AI customer service chatbot.
Perfect example.
The risk is that it hallucinates and gives a customer wrong financial advice. The responsibility belongs to, say, the VP of customer success.
Yep.
The action is mandatory risk mitigation training. The evidence is the timestamp certificate of that exact training. The deadline is December 31st. And the executive decision is the formal sign-off to keep the bot live.
You've just described a fully traceable, defensible foundation of facts. It forces the organization to answer a very simple question. If we are using this tool, who owns the risk, and where is the unexpired proof that they are competent to manage it?
I need to ask a crucial clarifying question here, though.
Yeah.
Because anytime we talk about legal and compliance software, executives immediately want to know the boundaries.
Oh, absolutely.
Does a system like Gerion actually do the legal compliance for us? Like, does it replace a company's lawyers or automatically certify compliance with the EU AI Act?
The sources are incredibly strict on setting this boundary. No, Gerion does not replace legal advice.
Okay, so no AI lawyers here.
No, it does not certify compliance, and it absolutely does not make final legal decisions on behalf of the organization.
So it provides the evidence, not the verdict.
That is the vital distinction right there. Your lawyers are the ones who tell you what the law requires. Gerion ensures you have the traceable, evidence-based readiness to present when authorities ask if you've actually done it.
It's the proof.
It gives the board the factual basis to make a legal or business decision, rather than asking them to make decisions based on guesswork.
Which brings up a massive technical question. We are talking about trusting this control tower with highly, highly sensitive organizational data.
The most sensitive.
Right. Who is using what, where our deepest vulnerabilities are, our exact compliance gaps. For a chief information security officer, a CISO, Putting a map of your company's biggest weaknesses into a cloud software product sounds like an absolute nightmare.
It is a nightmare scenario for a CISO.
How does Garyon protect this information?
This is where Garyon's architecture really stands out from a lot of the cloud-based governance, risk, and compliance, or GRC, suites on the market. First and foremost, the sources highlight that Garyon is local first.
When you say local first, you mean it doesn't live on a server hosted by a third-party SaaS provider.
Exactly. It is a native MacOS and Windows application. The data never leaves your device.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There is no cloud vendor lock-in, and fundamentally, there is no data drain to a third-party server. For a CISO worried about exposing their entire internal AI strategy to a SaaS provider where, you know, a breach of the provider means a breach of your vulnerability map, that local architecture is a non-negotiable advantage.
There is also a great irony in how some tools approach this. Using a generative AI to track your AI compliance would be like, well, asking a compulsive liar to audit your taxes.
It's a great way to put it.
Generative AI hallucinates. It guesses. You cannot have a compliance system that guesses whether you are legally exposed. You need hard math.
Which leads to the second architectural pillar the sources emphasize, deterministic decision logic.
Meaning A plus B always equals C.
Exactly. So the system, it actually calculates a readiness score from 0 to 100.
Right.
But that score is based on hard, verifiable rules. It is not a probabilistically generated guess by a large language model.
It's just strict logic.
Yes. If the inputs are the same, the score is the same every single time.
So where does AI actually fit into Garyon if it isn't doing the scoring? Because it's an AI governance tool, does it use AI at all?
It does, but it operates on a strict human-in-command philosophy. The system utilizes AI capabilities, but the AI is strictly confined to drafting explanatory texts.
Like summarizing things.
Yeah, like translating a dense wall of compliance data into a readable summary for a manager, and it only does so on command. The AI never calculates the score, and human beings always make the final interpretations and decisions.
Okay, that covers the math and the data security. But a control tower only works if it knows how to handle an emergency.
Right.
What happens on a Tuesday morning when a department head's AI certification actually expires, or a piece of mandatory evidence just goes missing?
This introduces perhaps the most crucial security feature discussed in the material, fail-closed principles.
Fail-closed.
Yeah. In a lot of legacy enterprise systems, if a piece of data is missing or a link breaks, the system might default to assuming everything is fine. It fails open, keeping the green checkmark active so workflows aren't interrupted.
Which gives leadership that false sense of security we talked about. The painted-on dashboard.
Exactly. Garyon fails closed. Let's take your Tuesday morning scenario. If that department head's certification expires at 9:00 a.m., the readiness score actively and immediately drops.
Immediately.
The system flags the vulnerability rather than hiding it behind some default safe status.
It forces the organization to confront the gap in order to get their score back up.
It treats a lack of evidence as a failure of readiness because, realistically, that is exactly how an auditor or regulator will treat it. A missing document isn't a glitch, it's a compliance breach.
But a fail-closed system only works if it knows when the deadlines actually are. I mean, a missing training certificate is an obvious gap, but what about a ticking regulatory window?
That's where things get really complex.
Yeah, because governance isn't just a static snapshot you take once a year. It is an ongoing process.
Yeah.
How does the system handle time and fast-moving regulatory shifts?
This is where the sources detail the 2026 extensions to Garyon. Because having a great baseline is essentially useless if you can't keep up with the regulatory clocks. And those clocks are ticking very loudly right now, particularly with directives like NIS2.
Let's define NIS2 really quickly for the listeners who might not be deep in European tech law.
Good call. NIS2 is the major European cybersecurity directive. Its standout feature is that it places heavy personal accountability directly on management.
Personal accountability.
Yes. You can no longer just blame the IT department if a critical system fails or is breached. Management is personally liable for the oversight.
That significantly raises the stakes. So how do the 2026 extensions address that personal liability?
By introducing a concept called temporal governance, the system treats regulatory deadlines not just as passive dates on a calendar, but as strict obligation windows.
What does an obligation window look like in practice? Give me an example.
Let's say you have a serious AI-related incident or a data leak. Under NIS2 or the AI Act, you don't have weeks to figure out what happened.
No, the clock starts immediately.
You might have a strict 24-hour window to issue an early warning to regulators, and maybe a 72-hour window to provide a full report. Geryon ties those specific timeframes directly to your governance events.
So it's actively tracking it.
It triggers verifiable statuses, pending, at risk, met, or breached.
It's actively watching the clock. So a C-suite executive isn't spending their weekend frantically trying to figure out if they missed a legal deadline.
And it's documenting every tick of that clock. A breach deadline becomes an undeniable, audited fact in the system, which forces accountability right up the chain.
What about finding all that shadow AI we talked about in the beginning? Does it help track down the marketing vendor using Midjourney or the employee using an unapproved chatbot?
The 2026 update addresses this through something called a verified AI inventory. This bridges the gap between what you think you have and what you actually have.
How does it do that?
It can import endpoint telemetry to actively expose shadow AI.
Endpoint telemetry meaning it's looking at the actual digital exhaust of the company.
It's
looking at what applications and processes are actively running on employee laptops right now, not just looking at a list of what the procurement department bought last year.
It forces the observed reality to confront the official policy. It takes the unapproved tools your employees are actively using and compares them against the officially declared inventory.
Exposing the blind spots. So bringing this all back to the C-suite, we've collected the evidence, we've implemented fail-closed rules, we've found the shadow AI, and the obligation windows are being tracked.
Right.
How does a busy executive actually digest all this without being completely overwhelmed by data?
The methodology distills everything into two highly structured outputs, the executive one-pager and the audit readiness report.
How does the one-pager change board meeting?
Well, think about your daily reality as a senior leader. When the board asks for a status update on AI risk, handing them a 200-row spreadsheet filled with self-reported guesswork and, frankly, expired gym memberships, that is a massive liability.
It's practically useless.
Instead, you hand them the Geryon executive one-pager.
Which shows the hard math.
It shows exactly what your deterministic readiness score is. It shows what specific risks are open, whose explicit responsibility they are, and the exact unexpired evidence proving your AI literacy and governance are up to date. It is the definition of defensible management.
It turns that painted-on dashboard into a fully functional, real-time instrument panel.
And the audit readiness report does the exact same thing for your compliance and legal teams. It shows them precisely what missing evidence or expired certificates would block a successful audit today so they can fix those gaps before the regulator ever knocks on the door.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means that AI governance is fundamentally a leadership responsibility.
100%.
It is not an IT problem. It is not a future problem. And it's certainly not just a documentation task. It is a right now board level mandate. The technology is already inside your walls. The regulations are already in force. The only question is whether your governance can withstand scrutiny.
The systems are running. The question is whether you are managing the systems or the systems are exposing you.
I want to leave you with this final thought to mull over. Imagine that tomorrow, an employee's unauthorized use of a generative AI tool leads to a massive data breach.
It happens every day.
When the regulatory authorities show up, they won't just ask about the specific tool that caused the breach. They are going to ask to see the documented timestamped proof of your organization's AI literacy training and executive oversight across the board.
They want the receipts.
They will want to see the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Without a structured system of accountability, would your board be able to produce that evidence on demand? Or would you be scrambling to reconstruct history, desperately trying to prove that your painted-on dashboard was real? It is time to take a hard look at your own controls. Are you actually flying the plane, or are you just enjoying the view?